Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show. I have a question. What keeps you up at night? I could name a few things that keep me up at night. I have another question for you. What keeps executives up at night? Joining me today to talk all about that is Yara Bank. She is the CEO and founder of BNX Business Advisors. She has a book called Executive Blind Spot, and today she's going to talk about those things that keep executives up at night. We're going to go through five today and five next time. Welcome back, Yara. How are you doing? I know
I'm
your
doing.
back is a little sore. Tell everyone what's going on. And you're doing karate now.
Yes, I am a martial artist, and apparently Friday night I didn't stretch as much as I should have, and so I'm in a little bit of a rough spot, if you will. But I'm happy to be here with you today, and I'm happy to be able to share what keeps people up at night. I want to talk about this from a perspective of executives, right? There's a lot of craziness going on in the world we live in right now, and I think that it's important that every time we talk, I'm always going to bring it back to how does that impact the people? What is the human element of what's going on in the world? What's going on in the organization? How does it relate to human resources? And how does that relate to our bottom line? Every time I'm bringing it back to that. So today we're just going to talk about five things that executives say that keep them up at night. Okay. So number one, economic and recession risks. No
Oh,
surprise there. There's no
big
surprise
one, yep.
there. With that, we have to worry about workforce restructuring pressure, training and turnover, and strategic workforce planning. Why are those things important? Well, it's uncertain economic times, right? So we have to use HR as a lever, right? We have to right size our organizations. That's going to help build trust and loyalty within the workplace. If you have too many people around and folks are like, "Well, I'm working harder and she's hardly doing anything. How come, she's still here and I'm working so hard?" Like, we have too many people. They're going to start having that uncertainty, and when the employees get uncertain about their workforce, they're likely to make a quick exit, right? And those are things we can't afford in this workplace, okay? Cutting training and development. That's one of the first things that people want to cut out the door. If you've heard me say so many times before, you cannot, you should not. This should be one of your biggest part of your HR budget. It's going to be training and upskill, especially in the world we live in right now, where technology, AI, all those innovation is just going faster and faster and faster. You need your people to stay abreast of what's going on, right? You can't afford them not to be in touch with the latest whatever, okay? Then you talk about having a proactive workforce scenario. So planning is important. How many people do we need to pull out a certain amount of work product, right? You have to make sure that each department has the right amount of people, not too many, not too little, so that everybody's productive, but it takes planning. You can't just let it happen. Oh, well, some people quit, they quit. If some people get hired, you have to have a strategic plan behind it because we do not know what the economic and recession risks are. We have to plan the best that we can with what we have. And you know, it changes every single day, every single day. Okay. So that's number one. Number two is geopolitical instability and trade wars. No one's surprised with that one either. Okay. So when we talk
Nope.
about that, we're talking about global talent and their mobility, right? We're talking about culture and DEI considerations. Culture, DEI. I say DEI, that's not the good word for it anymore. You know, there's some stigma attached to it. So let's just say dignity and respect within the workplace. Okay. And finally, risk adjustments. So we have to be able to adjust according to the risk. So how do we do that? Okay. So first, we must assess the risk of the global operations, right? We got supply chain issues, we got staffing, mobility. And when we talk about geopolitical instability, one of the things we have to talk about is the mobility of the workforce, right? It used to be you can get certain visas, H-1B visa, different visas to work for different countries and come and do certain types of work and all that stuff. But with all the crackdown around immigration, countries that are banned from coming in anymore, like there's a lot of stuff changing around that. We have to be prepared for that. And even inside of our country, the mobility of the workforce, big companies go to cities that have the most employees who are qualified. Excuse me, qualified to hold the high paying jobs. So it used to be like California was the number one place that people migrated to, and now it's not anymore.
Oh,
And
really?
Texas
Where is
used to
it?
be up there. Oh, you're gonna pull me. I said it, and as soon as I start saying, I was like, I'm gonna forget. Florida's on the top three. I can put it that way. California is not in the top five anymore. Okay.
Wow.
It's also on the top of the list that people are
Okay.
migrating to, right? So now what do you do with that? Like if you were in one of those cities and everyone's moving away, all your top talents moving away from that city, now what do? You have to be mindful of those things. So that's when I talk about mobility, I'm talking about intercontinental and everywhere else. Okay. We also need to worry about cultural sensitivities. And
Yes.
so, of course, I'm saying this because of everything that's going on in the world right now. And I'm not just talking about the normal, race issues or LGBT issues. We're talking about discussions in the workplace that are around anti-Semitism, pro-Israel or pro-Palestinian, pro-Ukraine or pro-Russia. Those kind of things. Those are the kind of things that we have to be aware of, that people have strong feelings and convictions around that. How can we mitigate that in the workplace? Should it be zero tolerance? Nobody can talk about anything, which is not logical. Like that can't happen, right? So how do we, I guess massage it to where it's not such a nuanced thing that we can have conversations, maybe structured, or maybe set some guidelines and boundaries about the type of conversations we can have in the workplace. So that's going to be important because if people don't feel safe at work, they're not going to come to work or they're not going to be productive when they get there. Okay.
Yeah.
The next piece is about the HR infrastructure, right? When I talked about,
So this is number four. This is the fourth thing that keeps executives up at night, right?
actually, it's only number two. I'm just giving you some,
Oh.
yes, I'll go a little faster, but I'm just giving you some thought points on it. Okay. So when we
Wonderful.
talk about, because number two is the geopolitical instability, but I want to
Right.
talk about
Yes.
within that, how does it frame for HR? So in this case, we talk about mitigating the risk. So you may want to have different areas, especially if you have a global organization, different area have their own HR, decentralized HR. And that way you can mitigate risk one chunk at a time, as opposed to everything being up in flames if something bad happens. Okay. So that's the number two one. Number three, talent attraction and retention. We cannot afford to let HR just be a cost center. We have to have value behind that. We have to have, I talked about this before, return on investment for people we have inside. We have to start focusing on upskilling so people don't have to leave and we don't have to bring new people in with skills. Do this the training in-house. Get
Yeah.
the AI trainers to come to you. Get leadership trainers to come to you so you don't have to send people out or get new employees in with the skills that you need. Keep your workforce upskilled. Okay. Employer brand is very important during this time frame too. Employer brand is very important. Internal branding and external branding. Your people, if you do them right, they're going to be your ambassadors out in the streets. They're going to be the word of mouth that they're going to be
Yeah.
on Glassdoor and Yelp and all those other places where people talk about what a great place this is to work, or the opposite, right? And so you want to make sure that your branding is clear internally and externally, that they know what you stand for, they know what the goals of the organization are, and they know where they're trying to get and how what role they play in it. Okay. That's going to keep your talent retention going good. Okay. Then we have to look at supply chain disruption. That's a big one. What do
That's
we
a
do?
huge one.
Right. What
Huge
do we
one.
do when we can't get the products in that we need? What are we doing with our people? They're sitting on their hands. No, we're cross training. We're doing other kind of training. We are showing them a new skill. We're letting them do side by side with other people. We're not just sitting there. How can we redeploy the workflow on the workplace, the workflow, while we're waiting for these things to come in? Now, you always have the choice of putting people on part time or on call or those sorts of things while you're waiting, but then you can also use this opportunity for some great training. Don't just let
Right.
it, you know what I mean? Don't just let it go by the wayside. Got to be agile, got to be flexible. Got to stay fluid during this time that we're in right now. So any hard line type of organizational structures you have to understand how does the supply chain affect where we're going right now? And how can we mitigate it, navigate it, or lay it down and start over during this time process? You have to be fluid, strategic thinking the entire time. It cannot just be, this is the way we've always done it, because we've not ever been here before. I don't think anybody can say we've been here before. So we haven't. Okay.
No, every day brings something new in all aspects, never mind business. So as you were speaking, I'm picturing like a wave of just like going with the flow. That's what I, in my intuitively, what I was saying when you're speaking about this is go with the flow.
Yes, you have to. You have to go with the flow. You don't have a choice. Go with the
Yep.
ways or get left behind, right? Get on the bus or get left behind. But you really do have to stay fluid, and you need creative thinkers. This is where your diversity of thought comes from, right? This is why it's important to have a diverse workforce. We're not talking about skin color and religion. We're talking about just the way that people's brains work. So that when things like this come up, we've seen something we've never seen, that people can jump in and say, hey, what if we try this? What if we try that? You need a bunch of different ideas because we've not ever been here before. So you
Yeah.
don't know what's going to work and what doesn't work. Okay.
Yeah.
And then finally, the number five for today is inflation and cost management. Inflation plays a role. We've got to watch salaries, keep them under wraps. We don't want people to leave, so we want to give them what we can. Might you look into monetary benefits that are going to keep people on your
What
team?
would be some examples of those?
Everybody likes a pizza party, right? I'm just saying
A
that's a
food,
cheap one,
yes.
right? That's a cheap one. But there's also a lot of these gift card companies out there where you can give them a gift card or a voucher for a gift card, and they can either shop on the site for whatever they want, or the gift card goes directly to like Amazon or something like that. So you're getting other benefits that they can use outside that'll help with holistic stuff. Like maybe I don't have enough for groceries, but I just got this $500 gift card from work. Maybe I can use it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So different
Yeah.
things like that. Training is also external training. Like if you're a part of a professional development association, can you sign me up to be a member of American Psychological Association? Can you sign me up for that? Those are non-monetary benefits. Can I go get a certification? Can I get some extended education? Those kind of things are non-monetary. So what else can we do around that? And a lot of times for the companies, they'll give you bulk discounts. If you say, hey, I got 50 people who want to attend this training, they can give you bulk discounts on that. So it does save money in the long run. So there's just things that you can do that are not necessarily an addition to a paycheck or an everyday thing. So if I raise your salary a dollar, that's every single hour, every single day. But if I give you a bonus, that's a one-time thing, right? It's a one-time
Right.
thing that is still going to get you the same butterflies and make you feel good about it, but it's just not going to be an everyday thing, right? So we have to
Right.
think about that. Like, how can we balance those things? I talked about compensation already. And then look at cost smart innovations. What can we cut down on, like as a whole? Do we subscribe to a whole bunch of SaaS platforms? Can we cut down on some of that? Do we need to have 25 things? How overlapped are we with the services that we receive? How are we redundant? Like, look at that. You really have to take a look at ways where you can cut costs in this uncertain time. These are things that are keeping people up at night, and I want them to think. As much as an executive might say, oh gosh, economic and recession risk are keeping me up at night, they're only thinking about the bottom line of the balance sheet. And I want them to think on a broader spectrum. How does this affect the people that make up that bottom line? And how can we make wise decisions when it comes to these things about the people that we employ on our team?
Yeah, a local company here in Canada, they're a brewery and they no longer had access with the US Canada stuff that's going on. They lost access to tall cans. So a lot of their product was being developed with these tall cans, and the owner of the company was unable to provide them, so they had to come up with a new solution in order to sell their product. And it was interesting to see. And as you're speaking and talking about all this stuff, I'm putting myself in his mindset of the things that were keeping him up at night, how he came to a solution and to figure this out and to utilize the tools he had in Canada to figure out what to create or what to do next.
Well, what did he come up with?
And we ended up finding some in Ontario. So another Canadian company pivoted
Okay,
and
there we go.
got the tall cans into Canada and then distributed. So it was just a matter of time, waiting for the solution to come. You know, sometimes I think we have to wait, and sometimes the solution isn't directly in front of us. But if we continue to believe in it, right, then eventually we come up with something, or other organizations change because they have to change with the times as well.
Right.
So
So we think
Ontario
about
now has
Colgate.
tall cans, and now they're capitalizing on this opportunity, and they're providing this brewery in Canada tall cans to provide their product. So it's
Right.
cycle.
So if you think about like COVID, right? None of us had ever been there before. Look how many people pivoted, their businesses pivoted to do something different. You know, in-house restaurants ran out to go restaurants, you know, all kinds of things that happened that weren't normal. Your gym membership was now online. You know what I mean? Like you worked out
Yeah.
online, you Zumba'd online, whatever the case may be. We have to always be looking for that pivot and trying to, the best of our ability, regardless of the things that are happening right now, try to forecast and say, what would happen if? Okay. And we have to have a if this, then this. We should always have that in our minds as we move forward, just in our 4 year, 3 year, 2 year plan, right? Like, how can we, what happens if this happens? How would we do this to the much, as much as we can? We don't know what's going to happen, but we have to think about that. And then how does it affect our people? Because we all know, once again, I'm going to say, we are nothing without the people. They are our biggest asset in our organization. We have to always account for what do they need, what do they want, and what can we do to keep them engaged so they continue to do the work that we need to do in order to be successful as business owners.
Yeah, let me ask you this. What is one of the things that keeps you up at night out of those five?
Out of those five, I would say probably the geopolitical instability and trade wars. While I don't do a lot of international business, I do work with companies who do. And so I'm always in my mind thinking about, okay, someone were to call me right now and say, whatever, what's my response? How would I get that information for them? And so that's kind of what keeps me up. It's like, okay, we know we have to deal with the retention with people, right? Because people are moving. Some people are voluntarily going back to their native countries. Some people are involuntarily going back to their native countries. What does that say about the workplace? How can we fill those gaps? Do we have the skill to fill those gaps? Last week, I was in Dallas, Texas, and I attended an event that was all about bringing companies to the Dallas area for life sciences. And do we have enough trained people who can step up to the plate when this new companies bring in these high paying jobs? Do we have the skills for them? And if not, how do we get that training? Who can collaborate? Who can get together? How can we perform this training so these people will be ready for these jobs when the company comes, when the companies come? And they're just being proactive. Like, where do we stand? And I think that was great. That was wonderful. Where do we stand? And that's what we have to look at, because migration happens, immigration happens. It ebbs and
Yes.
flows, but right now the people that we counted on that came in, because you know it used to be with your visas, you had to have certain types of highly skilled jobs in order to get these visas to come to the United States and work, and a lot of them were around tech. Tech and medical were two big areas for that. So now if those people are no longer allowed in our country, they were coming because we didn't have enough. So now if they're not coming, where do we stand?
Right.
And how do we find those people? How do we get them skilled and trained? How do we continuously train our workforce so we don't have to go out every time someone leaves or some changing of the guards or whatever the case may be? So that's the one that gets me probably more than anything.
Yeah, I love your big view picture. You have this strategic mind that you see full picture. I think that's so admirable, a great quality to have in a leadership role. Can you talk to everybody about what you do?
So yes, so I do business consulting or advising that includes really showing people, showing the people aspect of organization, the people into profit, because they're not just a cost center. People is your biggest asset. They better be doing a return on investment, or we're not doing something right. Okay, so I really want to show organizations how to tap into their biggest excuse me, their biggest asset in their investment, which is the people. How to make data-driven decisions based off the output of the people, and then how to nurture that asset so it's doing the best that it can for you. And that's really what we're all about. So, you know, if I wanted a plain word, I could say, oh, we do business and HR consulting, but it's so much more than that because we're not administrative. We are tactical and we're strategic when it comes to coming into an organization to assist.
Yeah, and you really illustrated that in our conversation today. Definitely, definitely. So where can people find you to get more information?
Sure. So we have a website, bnxba.com. That's BNX Business Advisors, bnxba.com. We are on YouTube. We are on Facebook. We are on LinkedIn. Or you can look me up, Yara Banks, Yara Banks, on all social media. We are looking forward to helping you answer any questions that you have. We're willing to talk to you. We do consultations for free. We're not one of those people charged just to have a conversation with you, because if we can give you value, that's really what it's about. It's really about dropping some value for you. So people can feel free to email Yara B at BNXBA.com. That's my email. So you can feel free to email me. Call us up, 904 United States, 904-345-0070. We're happy to talk with you and set up an appointment just to kind of talk about what keeps you up at night and how we can help.
Amazing. And I just want to quickly touch on your book, Executive Blind Spot. Can you give us a brief synopsis on what that's about? And that also would be on your website.
Absolutely. The Executive Blind Spot, how misalignment with HR can cost your bottom line. Exactly what we talked about here today. If you are not using HR as a strategic arm to your organization, you are leaving money on the table. Not only leaving money on the table, but you're losing money. Money's walking out the door. And it's all about, we talked about people to profits, right? How do we maximize that? And that's really what it's about. The blind spot is that we're not using HR the way we should. Over 70% of CEOs polled said they don't understand what HR does. Well, if they don't understand, they're not going to engage. But as HR professionals, we better be ready to step to the plate when they ask us. So it's on us. The onus also is on us to be prepared, to stay upskilled, stay trained, so we know what's the latest and what's going on, so that we can be assistance to the organizations that we partner with. So that's what the
Beautiful.
thought's about. Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. So before we let you go rest your sore back,
Yes.
what is something you want to leave the audience with today, after we had our conversation?
I think that I want to leave the audience with today is imagine the possibilities and then solve for it. Imagine the possibilities and solve for it. I think that's the
I
best thing
love
I can
that.
say.
I love that. It's the focus on big picture, as we talked about today. Amazing. I know it keeps me up at night is lately the new sounds of the new space I'm in. So, but I try and do what you say, like keep an eye on the big picture and not get caught up in the little things. Gosh, it was so good to see you. Thank you so much for being here today and for adding
Thank
so much
you.
value to the show and for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. I surely appreciate you.
Amazing. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. You just heard from Yara Banks. Her website and contact information will be in the show notes for you to look her up easily. Don't let these things keep you up at night. We are giving you a solution. So I ask you to pay attention. And if you have not yet, please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. Until next time, my name is Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. Bye. Sleep well.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that was good.